Dun 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 dun. So we're going to talk about the dumpster fire that has become the DC cinematic universe.
Well, it's always been a dumpster fire, but it's even more of a dumpster fire.
DC has definitely made their money off the TV, not the movies.
But they can't take what they learn from TV and apply it to the movies.
They're still making money off the movies, but it's not.
It seems like almost all their movies have been better once they let the director cuts. If they would release the director cuts, which people love,
this is true.
In the theaters, sure, people, fanboys are willing to watch an extra 30 minutes in the theater.
I would even say they want the director cuts.
This is true, but also the director of most of these...
Maybe it's in comparison.
Yeah, in comparison.
But the director for most of the DC movies that have come out so far, or the new DC universe, has been, Snyder.
Yeah, Snyder's director.
And he did like
3 out of the 5.
Yeah,
so far.
And he's done. And his Watchmen is much better with the director's cut. His Watchmen's good. I mean, it's probably arguably one of the better DC.
The director's cut is.
Yes. But it's they're rewriting the Flash.
Yeah, they're completely rewriting the Flash, and they're getting a new cast for the Flash, except for the Flash. The guy who's playing the Flash is staying the same.
He's the Flash.
Ben Affleck. He's not going to be related to the TV.
Not going to be related to the TV show.
The TV Flash has been. I'm a little slow on this current season, but it's been pretty good from what I've been able to catch of it.
I'm just tired of all of his villains always being speedsters. Every single season, they need to. Move on from that.
That is true. Every major villain for the last these 3 seasons has had something to do with the Speed Force. Similarities in
terms of their. I mean, he's got the Rogues. They're all there. They need to do something with
them. Well, not all the Rogues, because Captain Cold is over.
Yeah, Captain Cold is over in
and Heat Wave or whatever he's called. But not quite.
I do find it extremely appropriate with you were mentioning the cinematic universe for DC. It's funny to me. Oh, excuse me. I was making the statement that it's funny to me. I apologize, but I'm a Marvel fanboy, and it seems to be the case in general within the comics. The Marvel comics are all doing fantastic, but DC's got Batman, right? So we've got everything that's great, and then you have like the pinnacle of comics. It seems is Batman, and then in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hang on a minute here. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Everything is great. Everything else DC has is hot garbage, but they have the Dark Knight.
Well, I kind
allow
of have
me to quote someone. Seeing how he's not here, as Taylor would often say, you're fucking wrong. DC right now, at least for us, from a retailer point of view, just sales dollar wise, DC is probably doing about 20% above Marvel.
Yeah. That's actually really impressive. Considering where they were last year,
Marvel is tanking their line slowly but surely.
This year and last year than I have in previous years. In a long time, I have.
Right.
My pick's been DC.
Before Rebirth, I would have said, yes, Marvel is kicking DC's ass 2-1.
But since Secret Wars and a lot of the other events, Marvel has kind of steadily declined. And there are gems currently in Marvel, but the Marvel Universe, as the fans have known
most
and come
of your,
to love, does not exist anymore.
Most of your Marvel fanboys are going through event fatigue and reboot fatigue and...
Well, it seems, and some of them also getting hooked up, getting through this whole. We're going to reintroduce every single character as either as a minority or another, non-baseline.
Well, character. So. Yeah, they've just released a ton of new characters, and some of them are really good, but they all get lost. Yeah, like you said, DC has Batman, DC has Superman.
Yeah.
All right, DC has Wonder Woman.
DC basically they have the new gods.
Now,
they do have iconic characters.
Right. And these characters, and that's true. And all those books, they sell pretty good. Batman sells really good. And of course, Image has The Walking Dead. Marvel doesn't have those books, at least for my store, that sell 10 times the copies of the rest of their line. All their line goes, because it's so interconnected, people tend to read their whole line, or at least large chunks of it. But, that scares people away. The less I can read just one book, the less likely I am to try. Because with Marvel, you're not able to, a lot of times, try a book.
Well, yeah, it's like...
You're able to try... It's you like have to if try I, the Spider-Man half yeah, of the
if,
universe.
If I want to read the X-Men, I can't just pick up X-Men. I have to pick up Uncanny X-Men, Extraordinary X-Men, X-Force, IVX. I apparently have to pick up the Inhuman line, too, now. You know, it's crazy. But if I want to read Wonder Woman, I can just pick up Wonder Woman over at DC.
Even Batman... For the most part, you can read Batman and not have to read Detective, or read Detective not have to read Batman.
No.
Same thing with Superman and Action Comics. If you look at the, and you can tell with the trades, you pick up a X-Men trade, it's going to list four different books on it, because that's where the story arc goes. Very rarely will you pick up a DC trade and it lists four or five different books for a five or six issue collection.
Yeah. I mean, without following all the books, when you get to an event that you want to follow in a Marvel book, you have to have context for it. So if you don't get all the X-Men books, then you don't have the context for it. It's like, you know, we know that, you know, the Inhumans sent the Terrigen clouds across the Earth to create new Inhumans, but it's killing the mutants. Okay, but you have to read, like, what's going on in Inhumans, IVX, Extraordinary X-Men, just to get that big picture. Whereas, for the most part, the DC books, you can read the single DC books, and it's not going to affect the overall picture.
So what you're saying is, basically, DC is more self-contained stories, as opposed to Marvel's all-inclusive, where back in the day you could actually pick up Spider-Man and just read Spider-Man and not have to pick
up.
You don't even have that anymore. You have they announced just yesterday or earlier today a new Spider-Man book, and there's a whole, you know, Spider-Man has essentially become the Batman of Marvel in the way it has a Spider-Man family, because you have Silk, you have Spider-Gwen, you have Marvel Miles Morales, you have Peter Parker, you have
Ben Reilly coming up soon. Ben Reilly's coming back.
You
got Kane.
You have all that, and granted, like, Batwoman just got a book, but we're like 17 issues into Rebirth before Batwoman got the book. We have five. I don't even read the core Spider-Man book anymore.
Well, and you know, DC's really been putting their money where their mouth is, because even like whenever they've launched a new Rebirth title, they have made the first 3 months fully returnable. I could order 10,000 copies of a book, and if I don't sell them, they'll take them back.
Unless you get your ordering right.
Well, that's good. That decimal point right here, right there.
Yeah.
If we're going back to that original point where you guys were talking about the DC Cinematic Universe, do you think that that's... I see your side over here. This, the idea of Marvel being more all-encompassing event after event after event, and as opposed to DC is individual character with individual plot line, individual character, individual plot line, that sort of stuff.
And I'm not saying DC doesn't do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about the movies, though.
One event. And goes into another. Here's the big issue: is Disney likes Marvel. They like their characters.
Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers does not like DC and does not like their characters, except for Batman.
which right now the argument can be made that the Lego Batman is the best DC
also,
movie.
That is
no spoilers.
Disney is much better at making solid B movies.
Well,
that's what they want. They're not going for amazing. They're going for solid B. They're wanting this to be a good, fun movie. And most of the time, that's exactly what you get. A solid B.
You get a solid, fun, popcorn movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, here's my other point.
Marvel also had a good formula with the cinematic universe. Batman versus Superman threw together too much into one movie.
They are definitely trying to copycat and rush.
Well, here's another part of my problem is, we also heard this week that they're trying to get
Mel Gibson to direct Suicide Squad 2. And so that's ridiculous for some. But one of the things that Marvel does, the Marvel movies do really well, is they don't push their own individual movies. They push
a universe.
The brand. Mm-hmm. They push the Marvel universe. And every movie is not. I'm not watching the Doctor Strange movie. I'm watching part 13 of Marvel Universe. And what the DC movies do is they bring in all these auteurs, you know, these Mel Gibsons, this David Ayer. You know, they try to get them to make their own super special movie, their own version of the movie.
A self-contained product.
That is
a
why
self-contained product that does not fit into a expanded universe.
That is what happened with the Ant-Man movie, is the director wanted to make a self-contained movie.
Exactly.
And Marvel and Disney stepped in and said, no.
Yeah.
It has to be connected to the rest of the universe. You can't make a standalone movie.
Exactly. And so these directors, like Ben Affleck was supposed to direct the Batman movie, but he wanted to make his own special Batman movie. You know, he wanted to put his spin on it, and everybody wants to put their spin on it. And what they need to do is they need to not make Ben Affleck's Batman. They need to make the DC Universe Batman, and that's what they have failed to do up until this point.
Right, because Disney has been doing this with their own products before Marvel Studios was a Disney brand or subsidiary, you know, because you can look at the pre Disney Marvel movies. They're not that great. They're not the same way, you know. Fox has done a good job keeping the X-Men alive. I'm not saying
now has to continue that commitment to keep the licensing to the X-Men.
Right.
And that's why we will see movies like Deadpool and Logan and Age of Apocalypse.
Two of those
you are correct, sir. Thank you for
and
that.
You know, and I've actually been yet. I watched the latest X-Men a while back, Apocalypse or whatever.
Yeah, it was just okay.
And yeah, it was okay. I mean, I've enjoyed them all just because they're cheesy movies, right. And I like that. I was actually impressed by their ability to end it where the first one began.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I was like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Because I honestly didn't expect them to even bother doing that. But, you know, yeah, they're doing okay and keeping it out and making at least a little money off of it. And DC, it seems to be just flopping after flop. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing a couple weeks ago. It was like, They have a great thing running in their television bracket.
Oh yeah.
And if they had learned, if
DC
they had actual DC.
Okay, excuse
if
me.
DC had roped their television bracket into the movies, they would have had a great
Netflix
launch point to go with
Netflix.
That. But then they decided to say, "Oh no, our television product has nothing to do with our film products." When they could have brought a huge fan base from there and had a good launch point to introduce multiple facets,
right.
And let it
well,
run.
The formula they use for television is the formula that they should be using for movies, but
yeah.
They're not.
They're not because they're trying too hard to catch up too quick to what
well,
Marvel's
and
done.
Here's the
and
other
they're trying
thing,
to copy
the special
Marvel's
effects
formula.
That you're going to get, and that's why Marvel TV has its issues. You expect the Marvel TV is tied into the movie universe. So when you watch Marvel TV, you're disappointed that you don't see the movie special effects.
Well, no, the other problem is they're not going to radically change anything in the Marvel Universe in the TV show.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything important that happens in the Marvel Universe will happen in a movie. And so anytime anything exciting happens in the TV show in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it only happens to coincide with a movie that's already happening.
Well, the current season of S.H.I.E.L.D., the first half of it, they did go kind of all out to get Ghost Rider into the
They film. Did.
They did. We have Ghost Rider and the Darkhold. We now have LMDs.
But here's the thing, though, is Ghost Rider really going to have any impact to the Marvel Universe as a whole in the future going forward?
Probably not. I mean,
exactly.
Even the Netflix ones don't have that scale. I mean, I'm sure that there will be some crossover eventually, possibly with the Infinity War.
They're really pushing Infinity War to be their big they're going. It's going to tie everything in.
Well, it's going to be the blow off for for this whole
10 years.
Yeah.
The payoff. The big payoff. Yeah, the big payoff.
This
money shot. Yeah,
this is their big.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the money shot. The Skrull invasion. I doubt that they're actually going to do that. I'm saying.
But. That might be generation four.
Over a decade of hard planning that they put into at the very beginning, which DC didn't put in. They didn't plan anything out at all, which is another big problem.
DC is just like, we got to catch
Disney
up to Marvel.
Disney wants them in the long game. Disney has always not been about the here and now.
Yeah, Disney can
they're
play
playing
the long game.
The long game. They build brands. They invest early in lockdown actors or actresses and long, insanely long contracts, make them a star, you know. They sell you on the Disney brand as a kid and get you for life. There are people that buy Disney effing houses. And I'm not even kidding about that.
What?
You can buy a Disney brand house.
Wow.
In Florida.
Okay.
You're not.
Okay.
I could see buying a Lilo.
They have special neighborhoods you can buy that are Disney World adjacent.
The homeowners association must be bitch.
Well, to be fair, like if I
yeah, Pluto's the head of the association. He's kind of an asshole.
If I could buy a Looney Tunes themed house, I would love to live in a Daffy Duck condo. That would be the dopest thing.
Oh no! See, if we're doing, you know, you go to Looney Tunes and it's either a toss up between a Wile E. Coyote blueprint house, like the entire house is nothing but like blueprints of some of his schemes that have gone completely awry.
Oh yeah, okay.
Or a Tasmanian Devil house where everything has been ripped to shit.
Dude, Marvin the Martian rocket house.
Sorry, when I learned about these, they were, you know, in the 6 and 7 figure range.
Okay, well, see, when you've got that kind of money, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Old Axel Foley quote, you know, men have so much money, if they want to live in a round house, they may want to live in a round house.
That's what they want to do with Marvel.
When you got the
money,
you're no longer
friendly. The cartoon that ties into the comics.
Right.
The comics get you into the other adult version of the characters. Adult version characters get you into the movies. Yeah.
So, assuming that we see an analogy over here of the DC Cinematic Universe being self-contained products versus the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where it's all interlooping, interlocking pieces, you think that the analogy over here from it's not so much coming from Marvel as comics as it is from DC, at least in regards to the cinematic universe. From Marvel.
This strategy is not coming from Marvel comics.
Okay,
no, this is coming DC. From the mouse. This is the mouse's strategy. You remember Marvel Comics went under.
Yes, mm-hmm.
they were a brand acquired by Disney.
Marvel Comics. In order to save themselves financially,
they sold the movie rights.
Yeah, that's why Spider-Man and X-Men
Quick
went
Googleable
off.
The question: when did that occur again?
Back in
early 2000s, late 90s.
Yeah, early 2000s because we started seeing like Blade and Spider-Man movies in the early 2000s, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
about the time Spider-Man 1 showed up. Via Sony.
Oh god,
so 2002. Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man.
X-Men came out in 2000, right?
Yeah. X-Men came out in 99, right? It's the first one.
I think the first one came out either 99 or 2000, but the Spider-Man movie came out after 2001.
Yeah. Yep, I remember.
Because there was a promo.
Yeah, X-Men
that
was
featured,
the first one.
The web Spider-Man webbing a helicopter to the Twin Towers, and that got
pulled,
erased.
Now. According to Google, Disney bought Marvel in 2009.
Yep.
But Marvel started selling off their movie rights long before that to attempt to stay afloat.
Yes.
Because they sold Fantastic Four to Fox.
Essentially, they died with the comic market in the 90s. They encouraged die-cut variant covers and all that other crazy stuff
that speculators go gaga over.
That caused the market to crash.
So every time you look at that Chromium X Generation X 1 cover, remember, you were part of the problem. The holographic Spider-Man armored cover.
But I see such a strong analog. Okay, Secret Invasion. That was, what, 2006? In the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they were coming out, but the problem wasn't the comics were doing okay then, but comic stores weren't.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, comic stores crashed, and the size of the market they're dealing with is so much smaller now than it was, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. The tangent that I'm in, I'm probably am going too far away from the main topic over here, but the idea
there's no such thing as main topic here.
Okay, good.
It's a free format.
If we're talking about the cinematic universe is drawing parallels, it seems to me like Marvel's cinematic universe is drawing parallels from the direction of its comics. This interlocking, interweaving thing. The first huge thing that I actively bought and was alive for anyway was a Secret Invasion. That was about the time that I got really heavily into Marvel.
Well, they are using the stories as a baseline. Well,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But they haven't introduced the Skrulls into the MCU.
Absolutely.
I think the Skrulls are owned by Fox. So
because they're part of the Fantastic Four umbrella that falls under.
Right, but it's not so much the Skrulls I'm talking about. It's that interleaving, like the massive.
You're talking about interlocking storylines,
exactly.
Which really it also. Well, I think one of the first ones that did that was Civil War ahead of that, which kind of shook up everything. And that's the thing is most of their events, you know, they want to shake things up, but what's happening is they're trying to. I think it was with Secret Wars. I think it was they tried to take. No, I'm talking about the one that just happened a few years ago. They were trying to reintegrate all of the loose strings into one big ball of yarn, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So you know, Marvel is almost due for a reboot. But
they are getting a reboot.
Well, they've announced it. They've done that several times, but it's always been soft reboot.
Secret Empire, but it's after.
Okay. I mean, they need to go back to formula almost.
They need to
discontinue the lines like DC did, and then go straight to number one, introducing brand new stories and new origins.
That's the problem we have right now. With Secret Wars, they did a soft reboot. And people are tired because DC did that. This was like, the second time in 4 years DC did that?
Well, DC reboots itself every year because they can't get things to go right.
No, it took 5 years for it to reboot again, and they've done it right.
This time.
Rebirth is done right.
Yes.
So far.
Because, you know, when we had New 52, New 52 lasted for, 2-3 years? 4 years?
It lasted 5 years.
But within 6 months, over half their titles were cut.
Yes.
Yeah, well...
Because they did it wrong. But they done it right this time.
You know,
Right, which I'm saying is that's something that's kind of needed.
That's the thing, you know, it's like the forest fire. Some points... You're just going to have to burn everything down and see what actually sprouts.
Because the clutter, you got to clean the clutter out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clutter in Marvel right now.
Yes.
I mean, let's see, how many new 52 titles actually have 52 title issues?
I think the closest one you'll have is the Batman.
All the legacy ones. The Flash.
Yeah, the Batman, like Batman Superman, the Flash. Yeah, Green Lantern. Yeah. You know, the hardcore characters all made it. But, and this is good. What was the last big time they did a total reboot in Marvel?
Aside from Secret Wars, a brand new reboot.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a while. Like I said, they need to.
I mean, and Secret Wars isn't even really a reboot. It's just a remuddling, really. Because they just now the world is caved in on itself. We're not starting all these characters over. We're just adding new ones that are alternate universes.
Which is where I go to. They basically need to pour some chlorine in the pool and clear it out and start from scratch. Like I said, go back to formula and reintroduce things and start brand new lines.
You're getting that. I mean, after Secret Empire, Marvel's pretty much going back to basics. You're going to have your normal Steve Rogers Captain America. You're going to have Thor being Thor again. Hulk's going to be Bruce Banner again. I mean, all of that's coming back. And hopefully... You know, they're able to take lessons that DC, you know, they'd be able to take what DC did with Rebirth and be able to do sort of the same thing with Marvel.
Because, you know, Like I said, DC's we say DC's doing great, and it's doing about 20% better than what Marvel is. But that's because Marvel, you know, is doing about half of what it was doing 5 years ago.
Right.
If Marvel were to come back and start hitting it right, you know, they would be booming. Yeah. You know, and it'd be good. I mean,
have we had the discussion of what hitting it right looks like?
We were talking a bit like that while you stepped on. No, it's fine. No, we just basically it was a throw some chlorine in the gene pool, go back to formula, and start it one again. Yeah.
Well,
which is basically
do we want to jump off this?
Yeah, sure.
Because we've been rambling on about this, and we're kind of starting to get repetitive.
We are so. Okay, so where do you want the back to basic is
gonna happen.
Yeah.
So the big question now is, will they do it right? Will it be a clean reboot? Probably not. They probably won't ever use the word reboot, and they should.
We don't want to be associated with DC in that manner. Yeah.
Well, no, they do everything they can to avoid the reboot word. But, you know, like we were saying, Disney, about the movies, Disney wants to sell you on the brand. So DC needs to think long-term when it comes to their movies and be fine with it being a slow roll build-up, and they'll do better.
It also wouldn't hurt if they bring in comic book fan directors who know what comic book fans want. Another thing that Disney and Marvel have done is they brought in people who actually know what comic book fans look for, because they bring in comic book fans to do it, or comic book writers to do it, like Joss Whedon and some of those guys.
But James Gunn is a good example of somebody who got it right with a very difficult group of characters to put into a movie.
But, you know, the TV shows, they definitely think longer with that.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely long-terming on that one.
Well, you kind of have to with a TV show because of the format.
So, speaking of TV shows, and one that I was actually happy with for a change, The Walking Dead's actually starting to differ away from the comic books somewhat. So, yay.
When was the last time it did that?
Like 5 seasons ago. I mean, they've added 2 new groups, and I mean, I actually saw an episode that I didn't know what was going to happen. I was surprised by the end, and that has been a long time since it's done that.
It's almost like watching Game of Thrones, going, "Holy crap, they're actually deviating from the books." Oh wait, they did that several times. Never mind.
There's a lot of deviation.
Yeah, there was a lot. Well, the first couple of seasons were pretty good. Then like they suddenly just like curveballed, and it's like, what? What just happened?
Well, you know, they definitely have said, you know, that they had to cut so much out of the books.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, seeing how it's taken them so long, they really should have just made the seasons longer.
Right.
I mean, and gave him more time to write.
Right.
Because apparently he needs it. Now.
Well, if he could just concentrate and write one thing instead of...
Well, he wants to get the other stuff out before he dies.
Yeah, I know.
That's so bad.
Y'all just don't know. That's how Game of Thrones is going to end, like at his funeral.
Yeah.
And it's going to leave you a cliffhanger, and that's it. His last word's going to be dot, dot, dot.
Don't joke. That's actually happened to me before. The Wheel of Time, Robert Jordan, he died right before he finished that. Yeah.
And then someone had to come to him and finish the last 3 books.
They got another guy
something.
To write the last 3 books.
Butcher doesn't get off his butt and start writing. That's what we're going to end up doing with the Dresden Files. Someone's going to pick it up after he falls over.
Which it's never quite the same. Yeah,
no,
you have
it's
a different
not.
Voice. It's just So yeah, of course, the elephant in the room is everybody's playing Pokemon, or everybody's super excited about the big Gen 2 update.
Yeah, well, it started earlier this week when there was an interview posted online with Niantic CEO John Hankey, and he said that Gen 2 is coming. And people were like, okay, it's going to be coming in a month or so.
John Hankey, really? That's his name?
H-A-N-K-E.
Okay, that's... That's disturbing.
That's his last
name. Sorry, he doesn't have a boring name like you, Larry.
For all we know, he may be Norwegian.
Well, sure, sure. Sure, it's not as porn star-rific as Rex Tillerson, but yeah.
Yeah. Or Buster Cherry or something like that.
Well, you mentioned it. You brought it up. Gen 2 is out. It looks really cool. I'm actually glad to get some excitement back and something at least new back into the game other than just yet another event of more XP or more candy or something.
Yeah, the game's definitely been dragging.
It was the announcement came on Wednesday, and they were like, oh, Gen 2's coming. 80 new Pokemon. Over 80 new Pokemon. So when you take away the babies and the legendaries, that leaves about 80 and unknown. That leaves about 86 Pokemon. So we're getting the entirety of the non-legendary Gen 2 Pokemon. Which it follows very quickly on the heels of the Valentine's Day event, which all the pink Pokemon were... had a higher rate of being of spawning, so you could catch them.
So many Lickitungs.
So many Lickitungs.
It's true.
I caught four chances and hatched one.
That is such a porn pun waiting to happen.
Right? But Generation 2 hit today, and we set up a lure here at the Pokestop that the shop is, and we've just been catching all the.
Dude, that's the whole reason I'm freaking here right now. It's like I came because I know this is a stop, and of course I wanted to see all your lovely faces, of course. But on top of that,
we're catching new Pokemon and getting the XP from it.
But that's the thing. Like, this new generational boot.
I'm
like,
done.
I know. No, the only reason I came here is to play on my phone. Yeah. Sorry, I know you're a store, but I just want to sit here and play on my phone.
I bought things from you like last week. Come on. No, but that's a. But see, that's a thing. Like this is an update that rebooted my interest. I mean, I was playing before. Obviously, I was still a fan of Pokemon.
Well, I look forward to the new Turf Wars that are going to be breaking
out. Oh, it's
going to
be great. I'm ready for Gang Colors to come back, man. I'm ready for my blue tees coming out.
Surprisingly, Instinct is on the move.
Oh,
the Instinct of Nashville have mobilized, and they're hitting gyms.
All two of them.
more than two.
Are they trying to step to us that, in front?
Basically, down at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery, used to be all Mystic, and now it's all Instinct. So you know, Instinct is emerged as a credible threat. Apparently,
do you think that denotes a renewed interest in the game?
I think it will renew some interest in the game, but it mostly is going to be for the hard.
I have noticed a pickup of people coming in playing on their phone. As much as I'm giving you grief about it,
yeah,
you're far from the only one.
Thanks, man. I like having friends. But no, this was.
I like how he took that as a compliment.
Yeah.
No, I'll take
your statement of fact. He took it as a compliment. But
that's right. Yeah, it's great. But that being stated, I would love for this to be the event that kind of brings Pokemon Go back to the phenomenon.
Oh,
it's
never going to get as big as it was.
No, it won't ever be as big as launch.
Yeah,
but that was like when it did launch. I mean, it brought so many different strange
pickups. Once they actually allow you to fight each other.
Oh my gosh,
player,
it'll be so great.
Trading and player versus player.
Yeah, player and fighting finally and player be able to make
which
friends by making
Hanky
enemies.
Hanky did say that was coming.
It's
a little late. But
next thing you know, Centennial Park will be overloaded with people just like going around, just like slugging each other.
No. What's going to happen is you're going to have people when you try to cross a bridge, they won't let you by until you battle them and defeat them in a fight.
Oh gosh, yes. And they're going to talk about how great shorts are.
If only there was some sort of game that you could sit around a table and play with a random person from a different walk of life somewhere in the world. Yeah. Maybe it could have little packs of randomized cards.
But there's a learning curve, and that's the problem. Yeah, you're not going
to
get the same group of people either. I mean,
well, fair enough.
Actually, no, that's the exact issue. You will get the same group of people
every time. Yeah.
Well, and of course, I was referring to Magic.
Well, yeah. which I love, and I
well,
play.
I did pick up a couple of packs of cards today, and I was discussing this with Adam earlier about like if I was drafting, this particular pack right here I feel is a good pack just because of the
some of the uncommons in it, which say, you know, Outland Boar is a 4/4 body for 4. But and you have the construct, the Crackdown construct, which, you know, is another 2/2 for 4, but it gets bigger every time something happens. Mm-hmm. But this is the card I might do as my first pick. It's between this card and one of the cards coming up is the Fatal Push.
It's so good.
The one mana kill anything with a 2 converted mana or less, and if you loot, if you have a permanent leave the battlefield, it's 4 mana or less. That would probably be, if that was pack one, pick one. But this is the other choice. This is the other one because it would just be, you know, this is Mechanized Production, which is a mythic, and it's a foil. I'm not sure about the whole Peacewalker.
I mean, as far as draft play, Peacewalker Colossus is not a good pick. No. It's not a good pack one, pick one.
No.
Because it's a build around card.
But Fatal Push. Fatal Push and that whole Mechanized Production would be the two cards I'd be torn between, but I might get Fatal Push.
As soon as you see a Fatal Push, you should probably just take it anyway, just so nobody else gets it.
If we go by the bread formula,
have no idea what you're talking about.
Bread is bombs, removal, evasion, I forget what
answers
A is.
Answers and defense.
Fatal Push is the removal. And in a format like draft, removal is big.
The Mechanized Production, takes 7 to activate?
Yeah.
So basically, it's an enchantment that you pay 7 to make a copy of an artifact.
But we're in a format that create tokens.
We are, but the paying of the 7, my personal
It's a 4 drop.
It's a 4 drop that you have to pay 7 to activate, right?
No, I don't think.
I mean, okay.
Now this is really interesting to me. I mean, look at the language that's even going on around the state we're at now. Like, I'm following you guys, and I am so excited. I am so stoked about everything that's going on. And we're talking about card rates and mana efficiency. How can we possibly
a copy of our paper.
Thinking about all the context that is within Magic and
I'm thinking of an enchantment.
How stoked are people going to be when you talk about a one mana super efficient removal spell versus, hey, this Pikachu has a Christmas hat? You know what I'm saying?
That's a fun card because it makes a copy of an enchantment. Every artifact, and it takes a long time to get out there to win.
Yeah, I mean,
you have
to build around it, but you could, in theory, win with it.
It'll derail in a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a thing for Hanson does it just because he pisses someone off with it.
Don't do that all the time.
But, Fatal Push is probably my first pick.
It would probably be my
if I'm actually competing at a GP or Pro Tour or something like that. If it's a casual thing, I'm going to take the foil mythic.
Because it's the money card.
Right. And it's not a bad money card either, you know. It's playable.
It's one of my
Fatal Push is exactly a slouch as far as money goes, because it's a standard heavy card.
It's a $5 card now. So.
For my EDH deck, the Tamir Clones deck I have, that is a card that just has to be in there. You know, who doesn't want to have clones of...
And to bring up your question, seeing as how you asked earlier, let's go around and tell you this is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 155.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah. 155. I'm your host, Lawrence of America. With me today is...
Pokemon Trainer, a.k.a. David.
Less impressive, Adam Hudson.
Jason.
And Adam.
All right, less impressive, Adam.
Less impressive.
And Adam. I always call you Adam Normal.
Yeah, that's the name that was given to me.
And we have nicknames around the table.
You really don't seem to like Adam Normal.
I mean, it's fine. It's a playoff of Adam Strange. I like Adam Strange.
I don't know. It fits you, though.
It does. It does.
I just want to say that last week's episode was a great episode, and it's something I hope that we can replicate again.
We need more special guests.
I so wish I could have been here for that.
We had a
he was a good guest.
It was a good guest.
Did have a blast.
Yeah.
A lot more focus.
Once we got into the interview section of it, we kind of got our rhythm going, and we had a good time. And that's a format that I'd like to see replicated.
Anytime Nick Cage is brought up, it instantly elevates any conversation we're having.
Yes.
Speaking of Nicolas Cage, you guys seen John Wick 2?
Yeah. Is there a spoiler, Nicolas Cage spoiler in it?
Oh yeah, he's the main character.
Oh. Okay.
Everybody. Never mind. That's good.
He doesn't get it. Google it later.
Well, I've not seen John Wick 2 yet, but it's on my list.
It's Keanu Reeves.
Oh, it is.
I thought that's maybe Nicolas Cage had a cameo in it or something.
Sorry, guys, I was trying to be cute. Didn't come across well.
He was trying to recapture his Con Air days or something when he had the mullet.
I actually watched The Rock this past week. So
that's actually a good one.
Yeah, it's Michael Bay's like only good movie.
It really is. It was like his first movie.
Yeah.
You just go home. I'm Queen.
And stuff. I mean, there's.
Sean Connery was so good.
And excessive amounts of explosions in that.
Well, it's because it's a Michael Bay film. Yeah.
That's how you know it's a Michael Bay film. Now, he hadn't got his real explosion
porn
Creed going on. And now it's like in his contract. Well, we've got to have an explosion in the first 5 minutes and every 5 minutes
I mean, the trailer for his remake for the Turtles movie, the antenna station blew up. How the hell does... It's nothing but metal. How does it blow up?
Yeah.
It was in the trailer.
Everything blows where there's
up.
A will, there's a bay.
I could so strangle you from across the table right now.
And that concludes the bad pun section of the podcast.
No, it doesn't. There will be more.
Be sure to tip your waitress and try the veal. So,
that happened.
We're in a comic shop, aren't we?
For the most part,
yes.
So you have a bag of comics there, David.
I do have a bag of comics.
Shall you reach into the Felix bag of tricks and produce something?
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Felix, good reference.
All right, so I did pick up a couple things from last week, but we had the return of Sex Criminals.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun. And I did pick up the. The X-rated.
I need to look up that.
The triple X covers.
It's Fiona Staples. This
Fiona
one.
Staples
yeah.
did the
yeah,
cover
bet,
for number 16.
I bet that's a great cover.
Which I picked up that, and I picked up a handful of books from last week. The new Thor is out, which the storyline is the Shi'ar gods have arrived, and there's a contest going on. And Thor is in it. This Jane Foster Thor is in this contest, and the prize for her winning is they don't destroy everything in Midgard. That's fun. Ooh, the stakes are high there.
All right, what's the consolation prize?
I don't think there is a runner-up. You know, there's... the runner-up will fulfill the duties of the first place winner.
Things how... is that... Doesn't Midgard, the authorities in Midgard want Jane Foster or the illegal Thor arrested or something?
I think so. So, you know, but that's the authorities. That's not the average citizen. Isn't Midgard Earth?
Midgard's correct. Earth, yeah.
Correct. Midgard is Earth.
So I don't think she would want her home planet destroyed.
Probably not.
Yeah, that kind
of. It's not usually a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer right there.
Yeah, because then you got to try and relocate, and you have to find good rates and everything.
It's
just not.
It's like I did my best. Well, your best wasn't good enough when you got the Earth destroyed. Yeah.
I don't know. Look at some alien races. They might thank you for that.
I picked up Mother Panic number 3 from Young Animals, which I got both covers because Helen Chin did a cover. That looks pretty good with her fighting Batman. The character of Mother Panic fighting Batman. So I'm looking forward to that. I kind of branched out a little bit this week and got the Super Sons.
Yeah?
Super Sons?
Super Sons. The son of Batman and the son of Superman. Yeah. Together in a book.
I'm sorry, confused look. When did Superman procreate?
Okay.
We briefly wore a kryptonite condom.
Okay.
And it broke.
Okay.
So, oh my God, briefly, Kevin Smith is right!
Briefly going back,
going back to the series of DC reboots, right?
Okay.
The pre-52 or New 52 Superman and Lois Lane were a couple, a wedded couple. They existed in New 52 universe, and they currently exist in the Rebirth universe. They have had a child, a son named Jonathan. This is the pre 50 New 52 Superman and Lois Lane's pre-new son. Because before the whole reboots happened, they were a wedded couple.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's pre-New 52.
But again,
right?
Okay, yes. The question becomes: how did a regular, normal Earth woman survive?
Kryptonian science might have helped out somewhere. I don't know the exact details. I know
that ain't going into the details.
I don't know the science behind it.
Because suddenly I am so reminded of the conversation in Mallrats of this exact thing.
Well, I'm kind of reminded.
Now, Kevin Smith is not the first person to have that. I think Larry Nevin.
Well, it's the first time I've
had.
Really,
I wrote a paper about what would happen if Superman. Yeah.
Well, and see, and then we actually, and then for visual effect, we actually, because there's a scene
his
Hancock.
Superman sperm would be
for all
drilling
we know,
through the Earth.
For all we know, is Superman, Clark Kent, and Lois Lane went to a planet. In a solar system with a red sun.
There you
for
go.
Their honeymoon.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay,
well, I will accept that. By the yellow sun, maybe they only got freaky at night. That's the thing that always got me. How does Superman fight crime at night?
Yeah.
Solar reserves, that's all. It's, yeah, he has reserves. There's a solar battery
in
there somewhere.
There was an Elseworld title where Superman. Where they blocked out the sun and Superman lost his abilities until he was brought above the cloud cover.
There you go. They did it during the eclipse.
Yes.
There you go.
So now that we're off of the question of Kryptonian human procreation, I also got the Walking Dead number 164, and I'm the one that derails conversations here. So.
I heard it was a super zombie heavy issue.
Well, the last issue that we witnessed the threat of the Alpha committed to sending a sea of walkers to Alexandria, and we've seen the beginning of the fall of the House of Alexandria.
I have yet to read that issue,
so,
but yeah,
so got that one.
And 163, the issue before this, was a 25-cent issue.
That's the 25-cent issue. It's the fall of the beginning of the fall.
Well, I've read that one. Then the one that just came out is 164.
Yeah, this is the aftermath of the sea crashing into Alexandria.
Right. Which, so this is a two Walking Dead month.
Okay. I got the new Wildstorm number one, which.
Warren Ellis,
but it's got a very lovely cover by Tula LaToy, which I'm so happy that the shop had some in stock because I love Tula LaToy artwork. You know, when she did the, I was actually surprised when she did the All Star Batman.
Yeah.
She did interiors.
Yeah, she did. It was great. It's a great issue.
She's an awesome cover artist, but I was really impressed with her interiors, and I wish she would do more. But you know, for something that beautiful, it may take time.
Yeah, I would imagine she would have a hard time.
Yeah, I don't think she could make deadlines as well. I also got the Batwoman number one rebirth. I got the Jay Lee cover variant because Jay Lee does great art. And then I got Green Lanterns, which we had a discussion about if it came out this week, if it was this week or last week, but it came out in shops this week. And then I am participating in the Reddit gifts exchanges. I'm two of them this time.
Wow.
Star Wars and a manga and anime. So I picked up a copy of the Omnibus, Volume 1 of Battle Angel Alita. Last Order as my gift to my Reddit gift.
Who doesn't listen, I assume, to this podcast?
I assume they don't listen to this podcast. I'm hoping. I did not name a name, and it'll be coming from my username and not my
actual name.
Actual name.
It's not probably smart. David.
It won't be AKA David that it comes under. I've already received my gift from the Anime Exchange. They sent me a two DVDs of Cowboy Bebop, the full series.
There you go.
And the movie.
Movie?
Nice. Which I already had a copy of the movie, but I loaned it out to somebody and I never got it back. So,
there you go.
I've got a copy of the movie back.
There you go.
Which the Cowboy
Can
Bebop.
I borrow that?
Which
yes. I'd be more, let me put it to you this way. Let's talk to Danny about getting my Robotech back before I loan out anything else, because I have a volume one of Robotech has been loaned out to Danny, which then got loaned out to somebody else, who's gotten loaned out to another person, which I think has already made it back to Danny.
Oh no.
So
this
I need to get Danny to get
my stuff
my
people unless I get like
Robotech's another good one.
My Robotech back to
yeah. I don't loan movies out. I'll give people movies. but I've lost many a movie that way.
But I believe now Robotech is streaming on the service. It's either Netflix or Hulu. Robotech.
Yeah, Robotech's on Hulu.
So it's on the service now. So I would like my Cowboy
Bebop's also on Hulu.
Back, though. So it's very hard to find nowadays.
All right, so on the... Since I know, David, you're on anime, I have this is actually just kind of a question, because I saw it at Walmart. They actually have the entire Aeon Flux series.
Uh-huh.
I never watched Aeon Flux, but I always heard things about it. Is it? Would you recommend it?
I would recommend
as a buy.
It.
You would, okay.
Here's what I would warn you. You're either going to love or hate the art
I've
style.
I've heard that.
It's a very polarizing art style.
Yeah.
And to me, it takes some getting used to. And it's definitely a lot better to watch on DVD by itself. I have a copy of the entire run of Liquid Television, which is what it came from in like 5-minute segments, which is really hard to watch, by the way. Liquid Television is...
That's the old MTV stuff.
Yes, yes. It's like MTV... ADD TV from the late 80s, early 90s.
It was kind of like 90s. Robot Chicken for
here's
MTV.
Here's some trivia about Aeon Flux. Aeon Flux was done by the same people that did Rugrats for Nickelodeon.
Really?
Yes, the same animation studio. And artist behind Aeon Flux is responsible for
Nickelodeon's Rugrats. That's why Aeon Flux.
That's it.
So you would say so? It's worth a $15.
Do you
investment.
Like Rugrats?
Love Rugrats.
Okay, then you probably will enjoy Aeon
Flux.
Pay
for the same thing.
Well,
yes.
Is this? I mean, but is the story captive? Is a good story? That's my thing. Is there a good? Is there? Is
it does all take place in a daycare? You know,
Not Rugrats. You
it all takes place in daycare.
I'm gonna start looking at
Rugrats with God.
Like Larry said, Aeon Flux is in 5-minute segments, but there is an overarching story. But it's not going to be a story largely told through dialogue. It's going to be a story told
visuals?
Through visual.
Right, I'm probably gonna pick it up then.
And like seriously, it was 89 or 90.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the animation was a low budget for then,
and it was very experimental.
Right.
But
still,
all that. I mean, like,
On the recommendations of the table, I'm gonna pick it up.
It's worth watching, if nothing else, just for the cultural perspective of modern animated movies.
Well,
because Liquid Television was one of the early experiments in animation. I mean, they had all kinds of crazy shows. You know, where they experimented with different styles of animation, hand-drawn, stop-motion.
Well, another good, and you can find it on YouTube, is for experimentation in animation, is the Diacon trailers. I think Diacon 3 and 4, which were done by the group that later became Gainax. So the studio behind Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Right.
Did at least two of those trailers.
Oh, man.
And they did some very experimental stuff in that that changed or brought about some changes in how animation was perceived.
I'm always looking to expand out my, my stuff. Which is why I talked to you about some of that. The next one is I'll probably look at picking up Ghost in the Shell.
If you really want to learn about the starting of animation as a modern movie and storytelling, look at the early work of Botchkey. Fritz the Cats, Wizards.
Wizards is great.
He is.
American Pop?
American Pop. He is the first person to do an adult animated feature. And I don't mean that as in porn. I mean that as in.
As a mature center.
Now, of course, it was kind of porny, but that's beside the point. It was. It wasn't meant to be pornographic. It was meant to be adult,
right.
As in R-rated.
Yeah, like watching heavy metal or something.
Right.
Which I have.
And now
I found a copy of heavy metal, which is so good.
Yeah, just watch the original heavy metal. Don't even go for that other one.
We're not going.
2000.
No. I got the original one. So.
Yeah.
But it didn't have the same feel. Yeah. It didn't feel like because the heavy metal movie did a good. Pulp Fiction-esque play.
Yeah,
isn't Botchkey also responsible for, like, the an animated Two Towers?
Not Two Towers, Lord of the Rings, and Return of the King.
Yeah, because they did Lord of the Hobbit.
They skipped it. They didn't do...
Well, half of the Two Towers...
They split it up into two movies.
MGM lose rights to Return of the King or something, and so they had to be done under a different company to be put out, and so
the animation style is completely different.
Yeah, I have the original Hobbit,
there's two different animation styles, but you know, like the one that's got, you know, the greatest adventure has to be told. Own it. But yeah, the ones we've recommended, Wizards, Fritz the Cat.
Wizards is one of my favorite movies.
You should check out.
I'll take a look.
You sadden me, sir.
Well, it's the younger generation.
That's the whole reason I'm here.
It's the younger generation. Some of them don't even know or.
Gone on to mentor others.
Oh my gosh! And you don't know Monty Python.
I love Monty Python.
Okay,
Wizards not Monty Python.
I know, but yeah, I was about to say the younger generation doesn't appreciate.
I don't care
Monty
about
Python.
Those limey bastards.
I do.
Speaking of Wizards, I've never seen.
And it's actually the name of it's a movie called Wizards.
Yes, and
it's called War Wizards or something like that.
No, it was originally titled War Wizards.
Okay.
George Lucas asked him to change the title because they weren't going to release Star Wars and War Wizards because they both had war in the title. So he agreed to drop war and just call it Wizards.
Okay.
It launched the same weekend or like right around that,
which will probably be why most people don't recognize it.
So it wasn't the best selling movie of that weekend, it did set some records on its own for animated features.
So definitely endeavor to find it then.
Now
so what else do you young guys want to know about that we can tell you?
I'd love to get some perspective while I'm in a geeky card shop. We mentioned before we were talking about an art style within anime that's starting to push into some experimentation. Do you guys feel as though there is enough of experimentation in that Japanese animation culture?
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay.
There is a convention that happens in Japan.
Don't Google Japanese experiments.
Yeah.
Don't Google
Japanese experiments. There's a Japanese animation convention where new talent showcases things.
Okay.
And there are things that people haven't seen before that are mind-blowing. So there is still, in at least Japan, there is still that spirit of experimentation and innovation
and
invention and pushing the envelope
that it still exists. Whereas it's not as much in America, because a lot of what we consider American animation is done probably in some studio in Korea, so like South Korea or Japan.
There's also a lot of in American things. There's a lot of standardized like art school and yes. like you know a lot of institutionalized standards. Just like this is what works. This is what we're going to do. But, this is what keeps selling.
Yes.
But like I said, in Japan, especially when they have conventions for this kind of stuff, it's like. What is the next generation doing? What are these people doing that we may not have thought of doing? And then they see it, and then it's like this.
I can tell you a story that I heard, where the animator behind Ren and Stimpy was told that I believe it was before he started Ren and Stimpy, he was working on some other projects, but he was told that we don't do the Tex Avery style animation anymore. We don't do that, and that was his bread and butter. Which you know, when you do look at the very early Ren and Stimpy, yes, there's some experimentation in there, but there's also a very Tex Avery feel to it.
But the thing is, that's such an iconic type of that you don't see anymore. Like you said, it's
not lost in American animation, but you have to really hunt for it. And a lot of times, it does branch out because the stop motion animation stuff that we have, like with Coraline and the Box Trolls and The Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach.
That is
some great stuff, but it's a different style. But they've really pushed the envelope on that. But true animation, everything's Disney. Everything's Disney, Pixar, DreamWorks. We don't have. When was like the last time you remember a hand-drawn animated film?
A hand-drawn animated
Disney film.
Disney. Oh my gosh!
Like, something like
you're
that.
You're talking like maybe something along the lines back of Aladdin and maybe the Lion King, Mulan.
I don't know if it was truly hand-drawn, but like you know, the Princess and the Toad.
Oh, Princess and the Frog.
The Frog Princess.
That one was hand drawn.
That was hand drawn. But how much of it was hand drawn? Because I don't know. There was an animator. We had the Wizard World convention, and I think it was 2015 or 2014. And I talked to one of the animators. Who worked in a lot of Disney movies back in the 90s.
Right.
So he was like involved with like Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, all that. There are still those, and I think the closest thing that you can find to that it was a Kickstarter project or it was a crowdfunded project. It had a steampunk theme to it, and that was probably the most recent example because the animator behind that was a Disney animator who said that these things are not being. We are losing this kind of art style in America. In the United States, this animation style in the United States is being lost to CGI. And this project is something that we want to preserve. But I just can't remember the name of the project. But it was a steampunk-based animated.
That sounds cool.
And I can't remember what it's called. But that was probably the last thing I remember actually having a discussion and talking about, and it's been like 2 or 3 years since I had that discussion.
That's interesting.
Diesel. It might be called Diesel.
Okay.
But if you want to use your Google Foo, it would probably be hand-drawn steampunk animation.
The hand-drawn art style and everything. It's funny. The other day when I was cleaning out the living room and I needed background noise, so I actually put in Volume 2 of Masters of the Universe just because, you know, I have it. And, I mean...
That Funimation style, yes.
Filmation. And then right after that, I put in Brave Star.
Brave Star.
So I can watch Filmation.
For those who are not seeing that, we are fist bumping because I am a fan of Brave Star.
Yes, I wish I could find the entire series.
I'll tell you this: I have there are DVDs of the entire series.
See, the one I got was Hullabaloo. On the Nintendo.
Hullabaloo. That's it. Okay. Hullabaloo. That's the project with the steampunk project.
Okay, Frank.
But I will recommend a comic book to you if you like Bravestar.
Okay.
It's called Copperhead.
Copperhead's great.
Copperhead is great. It's done by Jay Farber.
Yeah, Jay Farber's.
He's the writer of it. The artists are changing, but Copperhead is essentially Bravestar.
Oh, cool.
It's a sheriff. On a planet that's basically Bravestar's planet.
See, in watching Bravestar again, you know, of course, when I was a kid, it was just, oh, cool, he had animal powers. But now I watch it and I see the underlying, you know, morality issues and stuff, like an episode when they thought that the prairie people were robbing them for the carrion, and they started talking about critters and they started going into minorities.
Oh yeah,
and how people want to always pick, you know, they'll always blame people who can't defend themselves, or the Native American over themes to it, or of. You know, all the shamanistic stuff, and it's like, wow, you know, well, as a kid, you didn't catch that.
There was an interesting little bit of trivia behind Bravestar is Tex Hex, the villain, was actually designed to be a Ghostbusters ghost.
I can see that.
Because
the look of him definitely vibes.
They had Tex Hex was the first character of Bravestar to be created, so they had a villain which they had to create a hero for.
Yeah.
But Tex Hex also has a very interesting story because he's a fallen character, a tragic character.
Mm-hmm.
He turned his back on the love of his life to pursue money and carrion, and eventually fell in with Stampede. And Stampede was the one that turned him into what he is.
Like I said, it's been so long since I've seen it.
Stampede is Texas's boss. Essentially, Texas is Hex is Vader, and Stampede is the Emperor.
Right. Okay. You know, that was, and again, I just needed, well, for one, I needed background noise while I was cleaning, but it had also been so long since I'd seen some of those things, you know. I've also got, like, the entire series of Dungeons & Dragons I'll probably put in and watch at some point. Because, and the thing was, I mean, I put it in the other day, and it's like, wow, there is no origin story. It's like, here's the intro, they get lost in a ride, and then it's like, boom, you're getting thrown feet first into the story, and it's like,
There are some pretty good episodes of Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that, but that's some classic like 80s voice actors,
right.
And stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's
Frank Welker
stuff.
In there for a couple of things.
Frank Welker. I mean, that's
what was the name of the villain? Like,
Venger, and Tiamat. Tiamat showed up at times.
Yeah,
and Venger and Tiamat hated each other.
They actually
drew Tiamat into a fight just to get Venger away from them.
I love the Dungeon Master character in there.
I know. He kind of looked like the Watcher almost.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's Venger. You're in Dungeons and Dragons, and you won't get home until you complete the campaign. Welcome.
And then he always disappears at the right moment.
Oh, but, yeah.
And the whole intervention of...
He, like Gandalf, is kind of...
Yes.
Like, all right, Gandalf, well, here's the bad guys. They're going to pick you up if you don't have some serious magic powers.
Barbarian,
I'm going away.
Cavalier, archer, thief, rogue,
barbarian.
I'm back with the margarita. Did y'all survive that? Yeah.
All right, I'll have to try harder next time.
You're a bunch of teenagers. I'm going to leave you alone to your own devices. You know, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
With the thing earlier of the innovating animation styles, remember when I was, you know, late 90s, they did a block. It was like a block thing of you just turn it on and it could be one of four shows. One of them was Reboot, which was a lot of fun, and the other one was Beast Wars.
Ah,
yeah, which I love Beast Wars.
Which Beast Wars really reignited. It reignited my love of Transformers.
If Jules was here, we wouldn't discuss Beast Wars because that doesn't exist in Jules' mind.
No, he loves Beast Wars. Oh. He hates Beast Machines.
Oh, I got it backwards.
You got it backwards.
Okay.
Beast Machines
reboot?
Is a terrible one.
Yes, the reboot was supposed to be rebooted like several years
ago. They actually did an OAV of it. They did a movie for it. I only saw it once at Best Buy. I didn't have the money. I went back 2 days later. It was gone. Pissed me off.
They do have the internet.
Yeah, I know, but I can't remember what it was called. But like the series,
I bet it was Reboot.
Yeah, it's probably, reboot.
But no, it was those two definitely was like the first time that I'd seen like pure CG comic kind of cartoons, and they were fun. I enjoyed them.
Reboot's hard to watch now. Yeah.
I love watching reboot.
Is very dated.
But I love all of the puns they take when the GameCube's dropped.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That itself was just worth it.
And the villains were named after
Megabyte, Hexadecimal, those things. But it was just the best thing to watch it was for the GameCubes. To see what they were gonna poke fun at. Like when they poked fun at Mortal Kombat, they couldn't talk in the mask, so they'd rip the masks off. It's like, you can't talk in these things.
Which is probably a joke that's been running ever since Spaceballs.
Yeah, of course. Oh god, that was. Yeah, never mind.
Very early '90s, late '90s CGI TV shows are very hard to watch by today's standards. I mean, I don't think I could ever sit through an episode of Beast Wars again.
Well, the thing with Beast Wars is that all the character models still look really good in Beast Wars, but that's all the money they spent was on the character models, so all the backgrounds in that show is just horrible. Desert. Yeah, it's just like rock desert.
And they had like one voice actor do like six characters.
Yeah, that's okay though, because it was still Transformers and I was a kid, I didn't care.
Yeah. Which I did like Megatron as a dragon. I did find that was later on, but
right. I was at the very end. Yeah.
But what got me? He starts quoting the canticles of Cybertron or whatever, and then of course Optimus is just like, oh no, finish it, because he only did part of it. And it's like, oh, but finish it. No, 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 you didn't get all the way there.
I still like the memes that they have for Beast Wars. It's like, hey guys, there's some videos on here with Optimus and Cheetor that we should probably be discussing.
Funny things happened in Beast Mode.
What happens on Ancient Earth stays on Ancient Earth.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, that being said, we surpassed the hour mark.
Oh.
I suppose it's about time to wrap up with final thoughts. Do you have any final thoughts?
Actually,
that don't involve robot bestiality.
No, they don't involve robot bestiality. I was going to be very sweet in my final thought this week.
Aww.
Yeah. This Saturday is my mom's birthday. So I just want to wish my mother a happy birthday. I love you very much, and you'll be getting your present and your surprise from me hopefully Saturday, considering that we're going to be going to a very nice place called Patty's, which is apparently like 100 miles away for her birthday.
Does your mom listen to the podcast?
She does on occasion. So happy birthday.
I don't think my mom knows what a podcast is.
Mine doesn't.
My mom is, you've met my mother. Once.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I've slept since then, I'm sorry.
But my mother would probably be one of the biggest reasons why I got into a couple of things, geek related things that I do. Godzilla. My mom is a big Godzilla fan. Surprisingly.
Very interesting.
She would tell me stories about how her and her sister would stay up late to watch TV. And like the movie matinees and all that that come on TV when she was a child, and Godzilla was part of that.
Very cool.
On to you.
Very well.
Lesser impressive Adam.
That's less than impressed right here. Honestly, okay, so I'm a guest. This is a happy accident. My final thoughts for this, for the entirety of this episode, would just be that I am impressed that a podcast like this exists, because it's just one little niche of like, it is proof that there's a nerd community that exists. I just happened upon the side of the street, and I come across that there is a geek community in a geek store owned and operated by geeks, supported by geeks locally, and we're talking about geek culture. I really dig that that's still so alive, well, and even thriving.
Well, to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi, you've just taken your first step into a larger world.
You need to work on your Alec Guinness.
My Obi-Wan Kenobi is more based on the Clone Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So thanks for having me on this episode, and also thanks for keeping the
geek
culture alive.
You want to talk about geek arguing Obi-Wans? I mean, really? That didn't sound nearly like the movie. No, it's from the Clone Wars. What season?
Five.
Well, you're always welcome. We'll let just about anybody on this thing, so...
Oh. As evidence for the fact, for the fact that I'm still here, no?
Yeah, this has been going strong for well over 3 years now.
Yes, actually, if we take into account the numbering, the month we missed and everything, next week's episode would be the 3-year anniversary episode. 156.
If we didn't miss any weeks.
Yeah, if we didn't miss any weeks, the next week episode would be.
We have missed, I think, like 8 or 9 weeks.
Yes. So it's probably like 148 or something would be our 3-year anniversary.
But which, yeah, no plan to stop anytime soon.
On a I guess a side note, there is I know she doesn't watch because my mom doesn't know. My mom is so tech unsavvy, we're not going to get there, but I actually would like to take a second and thank her for actually teaching me to read. You know, when I was a kid, I actually couldn't pass kindergarten to first grade thing because I couldn't read. So she spent the entire summer and taught me to read. And from there, I've always enjoyed reading. So having, you know, comic books as a child and reading novels and stuff, so cool. And so I just want to thank my mom. I'd like to thank my mom for that.
That's very sweet. That's not what I learned from my mother the summer before kindergarten.
What did you learn from your mom?
Probably how to mix a drink.
Podcast.
He is Irish.
They forgot
that sounds like
roll me in kindergarten, actually.
And here you are.
And they just skipped their head to the first grade because it had a lower enrollment date.
That's funny. Nice. You missed out on all that nap time.
Laugh at my pain. Go ahead.
Alright, so make sure to check out on Outright Geekery on Tuesdays for Instruments of Destruction. This week we're going to be talking about that really terrible G.I. Joe movie from the 80s.
The animated one.
Cobra
Long?
Is that the one when Duke took a Cobra
It's so
to the
bad
face?
That it's good.
I know, it's hilarious.
The first cast.
Yes.
You have, like, who is it?
Michael, you guys are clipping the crap out of that mic.
Oh, gosh. Who was the... Falcon was, like, a guy from Miami Vice.
Yeah.
I can't... what's his name? It was Crockett and Tubbs. It was one of the two guys from Miami Vice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
To the internet.
Ice Cube?
No.
Was it Martin Lawrence?
Martin
Lawrence and Will Smith.
That's
exactly
that's Bad Boys.
what you gonna
Miami
do?
Vice.
See,
they
do. What you gonna do?
See, Miami Vice nice. Actors.
Well, while he's Googling that, yeah, just make sure to check out
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson. There you go.
And that was our special guest, Siri.
our special guest, Siri.
Don Johnson. But Burgess Meredith was the guy that was like half snake.
Yes, yes. And that movie has a terrible soundtrack.
Speaking of Don Johnson, if you haven't ever seen A Boy and His Dog...
It's an interesting movie. I'll give you that.
I got 2 movies working out.
Yeah, it is weird, obscure, sci-fi, post-apocalypse.
Telepathic dog.
Okay.
Interested.
And his boy.
I have gained something from this night, gentlemen.
Don't worry, a little shot of penicillin.
Yeah.
Unless you're allergic.
Don't clear up. You need to consult with your physician.
If symptoms continue after 3 weeks, call a doctor.
Yeah, I gained something. I'll let you guys know if it lasts for longer than 4 hours. There it is. There it is.
Oh, that was an awkward one.
That was a good one.
Is that why you've been staring at me all night?
Is that why you're not... that's why you got the...
He's not staring at you, Larry. He's staring at your beard.
That's right. Fair
enough. The beard.
It's your head.
It is powerful.
That's also known as a beard.
I'm good. What's your final thought?
What was your final
thought?
He was plugging the other one
out. I agree. The Geeks are Instruments of Instruction. Y'all still doing the The Starlog geek thing where you
that is Gomer and Jules
and
you know Jules
and you know Gomer.
Yeah, so
you know that it's not happening.
Well, as far as the store, for those of you local, we are doing a major reset to half of the store. Sorry about the mess.
I thought you just got a wild hair up your tail and decidedly just move stuff around.
No, this wild hair was placed into my rectum 3 years ago. This has been a...
And it's only now bearing fruit.
Yeah.
Takes that much fertilizer.
It started with that side. Yeah, this was an entire store remodel. It is something that, me and Mark started on, and before I took over the store, and of course, this we were planning on doing this. Me and Amanda had talked about it and planned on doing it when we first took over the store if we renewed the lease, and of course we did. because that's what delayed it till now. Because if we weren't going to renew the lease, why bother remodeling?
Right.
Yeah.
I know you also at one point had plans to knock the wall out and expand out until that got
knocked
out. And
that got
kiboshed.
Yeah. But
stupid ice.
But we have Mexican ice cream next door now. Woo!
Which is nice.
Well, not today. They were taking the day off. For the
what are they calling it?
Immigrants
day without immigrants.
Day without immigrants, right?
Yep.
Oddly enough, my business did not suffer at all.
Why did I?
Well, I didn't notice.
Well, we did notice the sign,
and
I had one person. I was going to buy ice cream.
That's probably their only.
They went to Baskin Robbins.
There you go.
Which is down the road. Sadly, I'm not trying to bash their cause or anything, but business is pretty competitive, So it's a hard way to protest. Because this is a small business. I couldn't imagine.
You couldn't imagine a day without comic shops.
Right. If they tried to do a day without redheads, I wouldn't close the store. I'm sorry.
Well, you also don't have the Nigerian princes backing you up.
That would be why the Mexican restaurant was closed today in town.
Oh!
Suddenly all the pieces are coming together.
Oh my god! Actually, now that you said that, I did actually gain some business from this. A couple of Mexicans that came in shopping. Apparently they went to go to work and it was closed and...
I walk by there every day, and I just was like, maybe it's not busy today. I didn't go to get to eat anything.
They didn't do it on a weekend where, of course, they would lose a ton of money, and
let's do it on a Thursday.
And
right on Thursday in the middle of the month.
Right. After Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
After Valentine's Day, before President's Day, so we can get that sell.
Final thoughts derailed.
Oh, we did that a while back.
I know.
Needless to say, with the remodel, I've been working extra hours, even more so than my normal 7 days a week.
That's fun.
But there's only 7 days a week.
He made 3 days
instead
up.
Of, 10-hour days, I'm putting 12 and 14-hour days.
I wish I was putting 10-hour days in.
Yeah, the difference is you get paid by the hour.
Yeah.
it does suck a lot.
I actually look forward to seeing what it looks like.
We had the good graces yesterday to be visited by the division head. So, like, the guy that my GM answers to came and visited us yesterday.
Did you get in trouble? Were you saying naughty things in the break room again?
No, I didn't say naughty things in the break room again, which that has also been a topic that was brought up.
Darn you for having an opinion.
Yeah. the whole, attitude is a condition of employment is bullshit. But
attitude is a condition of employment?
What? Yeah.
Did you hear that, Travis?
But
you can be fired for having a bad attitude.
Yeah, that's a line that they throw out at us when they don't like what us having a different opinion. As attitude is a condition of employment.
So basically, you have to fall in line with the corporate masters, or else.
Pretty much. But they were asking questions yesterday. And
needless to say, their open door policy is there. They just don't really care.
Yeah, they have an open door policy, but they don't have an open heart or an open mind.
I'm not going to have you answer on a podcast, but I'm so curious as to where you work now.
I will tell you after the podcast.
It's a pretty elaborate story. I've heard the woes of multiple times. They've done some crazy stuff. But thankfully, I work with some decent people most of the time.
Well, I work with some decent people. It's just certain people are less decent than others.
They just happen to be in charge, too.
Yes.
So, I haven't been doing a whole lot. We do have some big tournaments coming up. We have a Warhammer Kill Team tournament coming up on April 1st. Then,
joke's on you. Nobody dies.
Now, after that, we're sponsoring a couple events. Grand Melee Warhammer Tournament at the TNT Convention. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to sponsor something at NashCon.
I actually believe also Travis has extended the Winter Crusade campaign to go through the end of the month, so that is still going on.
Excellent, excellent. We're working on starting a Blood Bowl League and an Age of Sigmar Escalation League. Now, as far as the Warhammer thing, and of course, in Magic, they've got some little set coming out. I think it's Modern Masters 2017.
Actually, I haven't been keeping track of that. Yeah, it's not. I don't that, buy a
that
box.
Was a rhetorical. That'll be a big deal.
Yeah,
I'll have to start watching the visual spoilers for that one to see what they decide.
They haven't started spoiling anything yet. But there's a good chance. No, they haven't announced anything yet. They've just sent out. I am aware of how much I will be getting, and I'm also painfully aware how much it's going to cost me, which is a lot.
Which you know, right now with work
it's going
to
be a small car.
Something I'm concerned about.
Right,
as much as I would like to be.
Actually, it'll be a lot more than I paid for my last couple cars combined.
Oh, wow.
So,
save my tax return.
If I buy my full allocation, or what I'm allowed, you know, I'll have to pay out a lot. But that's not it'll basically be $10 a pack. Or $240 a box. That's the MSRP.
There's only 24 in the box, right?
There are only 24 box. Okay. I'm sure we'll do some fun limited events like we always do. And I'll offer a great deal on those. Because I always try and do some great deals right off the bat.
For Eternal players, Modern Masters is great.
EDH players.
Yeah, EDH, also known as Eternal, but it gives some
eternal.
Of it.
EDH is not an Eternal format.
Well, I call it an Eternal format because I can play whatever's in there.
Well,
yeah, but
it's
a different format with different rules.
That is proper
bands.
As calling you a woman. It's just not right.
Okay, well, fine.
It's just, it's not fitting in the definition of Eternal format.
Okay, well,
it is a casual format.
Yes. Okay, well, I consider it one, it's my opinion, even if I'm wrong, so me.
Just like
but
a woman.
It's a good chance to.
I wasn't going to go there.
So good. When was the last time you took a chair to the face? About 5 minutes?
Someone's moody.
Yes.
But I mean it's a good chance to get access to cards that haven't been
it really
reprinted.
Is. There's a good chance we'll see Liliana of the Veil.
Boy, yeah. That's something I want to see. So my playset will drop in value.
Do you have a $1,000 playset of those cards?
I have a playset of Liliana of
you
the Veil.
You should sell them now because they've already started to drop. As they announced a while back that Innistrad was going to be opened up for this.
Well.
Oh. Yeah, the closer that. As soon as they announce it, they're going to cut in half, probably. I mean, it is an insanely expensive card.
Yes.
But it'll go back up.
Yeah,
so.
But the thing is I got all mine with crack packs.
Yeah, so. So a lot of fun stuff coming up, and we're working on a board game event to do over the summer. A series of friendly competitions to get people in the store and applying. Yeah, so I know we'll probably do a Ticket to Ride tournament and maybe a Settlers Experiment tournament.
I actually wouldn't mind a demo of that. I've seen you've mentioned it several times, and I'd actually like to try and play it because it sounds.
It's
really
a fun game.
I am totally stoked for a Ticket to Ride tournament.
No. So. Assault. But that being said, trying to renew, trying to offer y'all more listeners in store, trying to do more online, do more in store. Now, so, other than that, check us out in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
You need to be a little more fast beat on that, a little more dramatic. I know you can do it.
Son of Maddie!
Here.
Okay, that's a little evil henchman. Let's tone it back to movie announcer.
Son of Maddie.
Still a little slow, but
yeah.
Well, I can't speak
I'm gonna
fast and dramatic in movie announcer voice.
Well, it just shows you're not William Shatner.
Yeah.
That wasn't too bad. I'm gonna give it a B.
I'm gonna give it
a solid Marvel.
I'll
right
take
there.
It.
Boom.
I'll take that.
Anyway, or you can find us online at compc2.com, or you can find outrightgeekery.com, or Facebook, find Outright Geekery or compc2, or check out our blogs, Twitter, Tumblr, our Instagrams, or all these things, all the fun, wonderful social media on. Now, and heck, you can even look up MySpace.
You guys on LiveJournal?
GeoCities.
We have a subreddit.
We actually do have a subreddit.
Yes, we do.
Hey, my MySpace page is still actually active, believe it or not.
The subreddit started as a joke, but it's been there for almost a year now.
Right.
And it gets updated maybe once a week.
I can just put him into a giant... The guy who's editing it.
Yeah, because I'm the only one involved with that, actually.
Well, that'll be all. I'll see you next time.
Same geek time, same geek channel.